This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
So I see it every day, and I really say to people, look up from your phone, watch your environment around you. Look at, you know, when you're in a restaurant, look at on the bus, look at when you're at work. You will spot daily kindness yourself, and that will remind you that we are in a kind world. And I truly believe that.
You are listening to the Don't Be a Stranger podcast. On each episode, I'll be travelling across the UK to interview members of the general public anonymously on various topics that crop up in all of our lives. Psychological studies have even suggested that when in conversation with a stranger, they can actually reveal more information than to someone in their own social circle. So whilst I traipse across the UK in locations such as parks, cafes, seasides and high streets, you can sit back, relax and listen to the tales and perspectives of the members of our general public. Let's face it, we all appreciate acts of kindness. Researchers have found that kindness is closely connected to physical health benefits, and some say it can even make you live longer. At current, we don't know an awful lot about what actually triggers an individual to be kind, what are the most common acts of kindness, and who they usually are to. And there's an even larger gap in our knowledge on the topic of kindness amongst strangers. During a time of economic crisis, war, and general negativity among the media, let's see if the strangers we meet in this episode truly believe that we live in a kind world. I met a monk in London and I asked him this exact question. So if I asked you, do you think we live in a kind or unkind world? What would you say?
Well, the nature of the soul is actually blissful and kind. But we have a covering, which is the opposite of that. So there's two realities all the time. There's material and there's spiritual. Spiritual reality is what we call Sat, Chit, Ananda, which means eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Material reality is full of ignorance, full of misery, and is temporary. So they're complete opposites. And so we are spiritual beings, which are kind, joyful, happy, and we're in a material world, which is, you know, full of misery, temporary, unkind, so like that. So they're both there at the same time.
Do you think that's the same in sort of every country in the world or in certain cultures?
It's the nature of the material world. So it doesn't matter if you're white or black, which country you're from. You're a soul and you're covered by some kind of material energy.
How often do you see kindness amongst strangers?
Every day. It actually takes yourself being kind to bring kindness out of others. So if anyone feels like, you know, people are very mean in the world, try one time to be a little bit more giving, to take a service attitude, and you'll see people become much more kind.
It's even like scientifically proven, like if you're kind to people, it releases dopamine and endorphins that makes you happy. So it's like, it's good for you as well.
Absolutely.
How often are you kind to people?
Well, I try to be kind in every interaction I have. Of course, some people have bad days. I can attest to that myself. I still have bad days, even as a monk. People think that we're completely in peace, completely in bliss. But no, actually, it's a process. So we're on the road to that. But yeah, I try to every day. I try my best.
So you are a monk. So how long have you been a monk for? Tell me more about that. That's so interesting.
I've been a monk for about a year now. Yeah.
What made you become a monk? How did this happen?
I saw some people in the street chanting a mantra. They were chanting a Hare Krishna. So the mantra goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this mantra is supposed to induce you into a meditative state. It's supposed to bring joy, build compassion in the heart. And I just heard them chanting and it changed my life. I inquired from there on. I started doing the meditation myself with the mantra. And now I'm a monk. So yeah.
So what actually is involved in being a monk? So obviously meditation is what else is? I don't know much about it. I feel so naive.
Well, we wake up very early. So this is a big principle, to wake up early. Get up before the sun rises. We have a few hours of meditation in the morning, different kinds of meditation, a class, and we have breakfast as a community together. It's also about associating with other spiritual people. And then we come out, every person has their own service. Some people distribute books, some people give classes, some people clean, cook. So everyone does their own thing, but whatever you do it with the mindset of service. That's the point.
I guess kindness is sort of involved in your everyday life as in part of your belief. How does meditation help? Because you approached me, actually. You're the first person to ever approach me that's come on the podcast. So you approached me because you were asking if I meditate myself. And I've said that I've tried to, but I struggle. So how does meditating help you?
Meditation helps me to keep the mind calm and to build compassion in my heart. So like I said, with the mantra, when you use a mantra and repeat it over and over again, it connects you to something spiritual. And that's our actual purpose, is connection. You know, yoga. Yoga means union, to connect. So all ways that you take up in life to help you connect, that's meditation, that's yoga. And so that's the highest goal of meditation, is to connect.
What do you say to people like me that go, I want to meditate, but I struggle because I've got so much going on in my head? What do you respond to people when they say that?
Just try the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This mantra helps you free your mind, free your soul, and build love.
You said something to me when you came over, when I said my mind wanders. You said something about it's actually doing the opposite. It's not trying. Do you mind repeating that?
Yeah. So many people have the notion that you need to push away thoughts and empty your mind. It's the emptying process. This is what Buddhists do. For us, it's more of a purifying process. So if you can imagine a cup with water in it, a Buddhist would try to just empty the cup. That's their process. So empty out the mind, become still. For us, we would realize that that cup is actually full of, you know, mud, contamination, germs. You put that cup under a sink with running water, and eventually it fills up with pure water. So that's our process, is actually adding spirituality. So we use mantra, we sing, we dance, we have loving exchanges, we do service for others. In this way, you engage your mind, you engage your senses in spiritual activity, and you become very peaceful that way.
I think sometimes spirituality can have a bit of a stereotype, like you picture an image when someone says, like, I'm spiritual. But what actually is spirituality? What does spirituality mean to you?
Well, it's a very good point. There's a book called the Bhagavad Gita that I recommend everybody reading. And it begins on a battlefield. And so there's a soldier who wants to give up the fight out of compassion. He doesn't want to fight people. This is kind of the image you're talking about, you know, being very peaceful, relaxing, non-violent. That's the initial image of spirituality. But actually, the Bhagavad Gita explains that real spirituality, it begins with this. It says that this compassion is a fertile bed from which spirituality can grow. But actually, the highest principle is performing your duty. And so if we're completely unattached to material things, then we'll just perform our duty equipoised, you know, without fear of happiness or distress, without fear of loss and gain. So we just perform your duty, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're a spirit soul and these material things are temporary. So you just have a purpose to fulfill. That's spirituality.
Do you feel fulfilled by sort of spreading this message in the street? Does it make you feel fulfilled?
It's the most fulfilling thing in the world, to spread spiritual knowledge. Yes.
And my last question, this is a very bold question. You don't have to answer it. Some people get scared away from this question. But if you had to give a message to the whole world, what would you say to them?
Chat Hare Krishna.
Perfect. Thank you. So you've heard from a monk. What if I told you that in the same day, I also interviewed a punk about the topic of kindness? I'm interviewing people on the streets of Camden today about kindness. So how much kindness do you see in the world? Do you think it's a kind world or an unkind world?
It's the 50-50. It's like, this is the word. You never get so 100% love. Always try being yourself. But remember, you live in them mind for free. You don't pay rent.
Why do you think people are unkind, and why do you think there are haters in the world?
I don't know. Maybe these people have a depression, mental health. I think these people need help. Some of these people is so begging for attention. The world now is like, because the social media, TikTok, these old platforms, is like make people sick. The people make one video for TikTok, you think like, I will be celebrity, I'll be popular because I have a 2,000K. People see your platform, but it's not because people see your platform, you get the appreciated. It's like is mad. Come on, make the platform good. Make good things. Make good energy for people. Not just show your body, be selfish. Everybody know me, I'm a zombie punk. I'm the guy local in Camden, begging help a punk to get drunk. I am very
help a punk to get drunk.
I am very popular in the internet, in all the countries. A lot of people come in here, recognize me, ask a photo, recognize me because the platforms like a TikTok, Instagram. Yeah, so I am the face of Camden. Yeah.
So what is a punk? Because obviously to some you describe a certain look in your head. What actually is a punk?
when I wake up every day, I realize if I don't wake up, I don't do something for myself, anyone is going to do for me. It's like this is a punk. When you try to do the good way for your life, you don't care for the people put you down. It's like a lot of people say for me, oh, you begging in the bridge, what you doing with yourself? It's like, it's not about this. I want to give my energy, my life for the punk rock. This I believe, this I want, this I am. I am punk.
I'm standing here and I'm seeing people looking. You draw attention to people. How do you react when people give you strange looks? How do you feel?
It's like I try live it the good way, but some people, I don't know if you know comfortable if then life it make some people down for feel good, but these people don't need my attention. Don't need my attention.
You could say that interviewing a monk and a punk in the same day may be a difficult one to top. However, let's find out why a lady in my own village has been camping on the side of the road for weeks to stand up for her community. So what are you doing here tonight?
Well, we're enjoying a campfire by the side of the road in the middle of our village, because we woke up one morning and found that a 5G mast was being installed right outside the primary school. I mean, you know, like an arm's reach from the primary school. And no one had been consulted in the village. And we just thought, you know, this is wrong. This is outrageous. The work went on overnight, over a few nights after dark. And so we set up a camp so that we were here after dark. So if they came back to continue the work, we'd be here, we'd be in the way, and hopefully they would not be able to continue the work and we'd delay things. While members of our team are writing letters and negotiating, you know, trying to communicate with the company. So we've been out here lots of nights, most nights.
Cold nights.
Cold, really wet, cold nights.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind me saying it was, when you hear about it, it's quite a bizarre thing that there's a camp going on in the village, especially when it was like really cold, windy nights. But then when you actually come here, it's actually a very nice environment. You don't live near the school, so it's not directly affecting you as such, but it is affecting the community that you live in. And it's, so what's sort of motivating you to sort of be here and do this sort of like selfless thing?
I just feel this is my village, this is my school, these are our kids. It's not like, well, my kids don't go here anymore, they've grown up, so, oh, I don't want to be bothered. It's like, this is our kids.
From my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not that you're not happy with there being a 5G post in the village, it's the location of it, is that?
It's all too new, so no long-term studies have been done on small children.
What's the response been like from people?
Fantastic support. Yeah, really amazing. People are really cheering us on, bringing us lots of chocolate, bringing us logs for the fire, bananas.
I feel awful now for not bringing some bananas.
We got the attention of the BBC. Southeast News came here, and it was a Sunday where we take a bit of a break. It was a Sunday. It was really early in the morning and the clocks had just gone forward and it was pouring with rain. And even so, there were over 100 people from the village turned out here to support us. And that was just incredible.
Such a good response, though. Have you had any people, I don't like to focus on negativities, but have you had any negative responses from people, or has it all been very positive?
It's been all very positive, except online, where people, you get people who, from a very safe distance of in their own home behind their keyboard, can say negative things, and that's where it's occurred, really. We haven't had any negative response from anyone while we've been here protesting.
Wow, it shows like the power of online. It's crazy because obviously it brought all those people together, and it's one of the reasons probably why the BBC came, but then also it has that power of being so unkind as well. Can't believe that you haven't had one person in real life, but it's all online.
Yeah. I think people feel safe that they can say negative things online, but they haven't come to the camp and voiced it. I've had messages from people that have said, thank you for doing this for our children, because it's not It's not a selfish thing. It's our children.
What do you think makes people like yourselves be kind?
We're all connected, and you rise above that picture of it's all about you and them. And you know, when there's an injustice happening, and it's like we're all together. We're all together in this. It inspires people to know that if you feel strongly about something, you can do something about it. And there's kids from the school that they've been learning as well about, you know, speaking up for something that is wrong, and peacefully protesting, peacefully making a stand against it.
This next interview took place in Leicester Square. I wanted to find out if a lady who spends her days in busy public areas really thinks the world is kind or not. In the day and age that we live in, do you think that you see more kindness or unkindness in the world?
I'll say more kindness, yeah.
When was the last time someone was kind to you? Can you remember?
Just right now. I just finished my show and there was a lot of people coming to me and saying that they really liked my performance. Someone said that I made them cry. Just really nice. It was happy tears.
Would you say other people's kindness makes you be more kind to others?
I would say so, although I always tend to be kind to people because I think it's free to do and it makes people happier.
Why do you think people are unkind in this world?
It must be because they don't like their lives or their jobs, or they are very frustrated about something, they're anxious. I don't know, like it might be like just problems that they have at home. But I understand in a place like London, that people get unhappy, and that's why they are unkind.
If you had one piece of advice that you wish you'd known sooner, or something that you could tell your younger self, what would you tell her?
Maybe like take a moment to look at things in perspective, instead of like just looking at the moment that you feel frustrated or anxious or like you're not having a good time. Just maybe try and think about it in perspective and see that it's just the moment. It doesn't define your life or who you are, if that helps.
Yeah, I think when you're like you're going through something in the moment, it can feel like such a big deal and you're never going to get out of it.
Yeah, so if you look at it in perspective and you see what your life has been until now and what you've achieved, you might feel like there is a way out and there's no need to, I don't know, like be unkind or like feel sad, unhappy.
Would it really be an episode on kindness if I didn't speak to a charity CEO? Luckily, I met this lady at Brighton's Pier. She very kindly gave me her details to let me arrange a Zoom call with her. Let's hear from someone who dedicates their life to helping others and their stance on kindness. For anyone who hasn't heard of Together Co, could you explain who you are and what you do?
Of course. So Together Co is a loneliness charity based in Brighton and Hove. And it's all about waving the flag about creating connections and social connections and the importance of that for us as human beings. So we offer a range of different services across Brighton and Hove. So we've got befriending, so that's that one-to-one friendship or groups that come together, get to know each other. We also have a model called social prescribing, which is effectively, you know, if you go to your GP or you're thinking about your health, it's not just what you can get in a pill or bottle, but actually it's about what matters to you, connecting you to things that can help with physical and mental health as well. But also importantly, you know, we want to speak nationally about the importance of connections and loneliness as well, particularly from the period that we've all just gone through with the pandemic and how important that is to kind of remember that level of isolation that majority of us felt, to kind of say, actually, that's some people's reality without a pandemic. So yeah, we need to connect more together.
What do you think can be done to sort of make people feel more connected? I guess that brings in what you are doing as a charity. So how are you helping people to feel part of a community?
How do you help people feel more connected? I think there's a few key things. I think firstly, it's being listened to. So being, you know, a place to go where people can feel listened to. So we have, like I said, we have social prescribers who people can contact through their GP. And again, for anyone listening who wants to know more about that, that is a national program. So they are across many GPs in the UK, but also across places like job centres and libraries. So it's that person to go to and have that conversation. And then the next thing is actually what matters to you as a person? What is important for you? And where do you want to build connections as well? So that could be you're really interested in art or music or, you know, and then that's the idea of helping that person to get what they want, but also having someone to stand next to you to go along. So that's also about the importance of volunteering as well. So when I look at sort of the charity and what we provide, I don't like to classify as like, oh, we have these people that we support and then these volunteers that support people. It doesn't work like that. Actually, we're all members together of a charity that's kind of going, we need people, people need people. Because also what's important to recognize is that volunteering or helping others is a way that helps yourself, but also helps you to build connection as well. So I think that's another really important thing for people to do is instead of kind of going to the self-help section of the bookshop, actually help others. It really will help you in your situation. So giving back helps yourself as well and your own experience of loneliness, because you'll meet people in your local community and you'll find out different things as well. So it starts to build that connection.
So in terms of your volunteers, what is motivating these people and yourself to work for this cause?
Obviously, I don't know every individual's volunteers, but I can overarching say why people have said to me anecdotally. But I think for myself, I became very lonely in my 20s. So I was 24. I'm in my mid to late 30s now. But I was living in London, just split up with my partner. So I had moved into a house share. I didn't really know anyone. And I was going to work and then coming home at weekends. And I was working in quite an intense environment. So I used to work in homeless hostels and run homeless hostels. And then I'd come home at weekends and be like, oh, I don't really know the place I'm living. So I'd moved to a new area of London. I don't know my flatmates, really. I'm trying to get to know them. And so I'd be like, go to work, come home. And some weekends be like, what am I going to do this whole weekend? And then through a series of sort of events that was happening in my life alongside that, I actually had my own breakdown and actually became agoraphobic. So for me, I have that. And now when I look back on it and that realization, I honestly think caused due to my loneliness and that feeling of like the agoraphobia of wanting to stay in because I was so frightened. I felt so disconnected from my community. So that's for me, my why as to why I am passionate about the work of Together Co. And yeah, just really, really love working with this organization and promoting like the importance to say it's okay to not be okay as well. And it's okay to feel lonely. You know, many, many of us have and will suffer with that. And then for our volunteers, it's so many different reasons. So they've just moved to the area and they want to kind of find out about it, but also want to help others whilst doing it. They have retired and want to still give to their community, but, you know, want to look at new ways of doing that. They're young people who want to connect to older people. So we've got some intergenerational projects. They come through different avenues. Some people come through because they've done like through a corporate partnership. They've come and done an event with us and gone, oh, we love what you do. Some have their own personal stories like my own.
What steps did you take as an individual? Because this was before you're working for the charity. So what steps did you take to make yourself feel better?
I think the first step for me was recognizing like this is not where I want to be and just being really honest that kind to yourself, because there's kindness to yourself as well, which I just want to stress today. Be kind to yourself. There is sometimes where things are tough. So just take that and want to just take a moment and go, okay, this isn't working, but it's okay. What can we do? And what I think for me was, what was I missing? So it with loneliness, it's kind of like that. Loneliness is a subjective feeling. So isolation is where, you know, I can't go out maybe because of some condition I have. Whereas with loneliness, it's a felt thing. So what's going to make me feel more like I belong in my community or more like I'm belonging somewhere? And what I recognized in that moment was that because I'd moved to London for work and for a relationship that had gone, actually, London wasn't where I felt like I belonged. And I wasn't invested because I didn't want to try and create a community. I'd gone and I think I was living in Streatham or Streatham Common at the time. And it was just a place to live. You know, so it was really, I didn't want to invest. I think the first thing for me was recognizing that things were not okay and that was okay. Being more honest with people was really important as well. Like, please don't feel ashamed. Like, there is nothing to be ashamed of. We all go through it. And then it's kind of like, what does belonging look like for me? Where would I belong? And that's what led me in my journey to move back to Brighton, because I recognised for me that actually being by the sea was really important. And I had a few friends already in Brighton. So it's kind of like that was for me that step of like, where am I feeling a little bit more connected to? Now, for some people, they might just think, like, okay, that's great that you could go and do that, but I'm here where I am right now. So it's going, okay, what makes you feel like you belong, or that, you know, it's that thing that gives you meaning in your life? Like I said, the sea for me is very important. So it's kind of people thinking about, you know, there's this thing that you can do where it's like, if you picture your life and kind of the greatness of your life, and you start writing it down as to kind of what would that look like, that starts to tell you some things. So writing, journaling is really helpful. If you're creative, draw what you would visualize as well as like where you would really feel good. For lots of different people, it feels different. So for instance, if someone starts doing that and they're like, gosh, yeah, now I love just being in nature and I love the green, and you're right in the middle of a city, maybe, you know, think about that. How can you get to more green places, and where would you eventually like to move, maybe slightly out of the city? Who are the friends you already have, and who are they connected to that, you know, you could go and meet their wider group of friends as well?
For you personally, how much kindness do you think you see in your life?
Wow, that's a really powerful question. How much kindness? I try and look for the small moments every day. If you, you know, if you go into social media and follow certain things, if you turn on the news and watch the news every day and every night, you are being shown one particular reality. It's not the reality of the whole world. And actually, me personally, I don't watch the news regularly for that exact reason. Like, they are showing over more things that are going wrong than actually the everyday and bigger things of kindness that are happening and hope in this world. So I think for me, what I see is kindness. I see it every day. I see, like, literally I went to my local shop around the corner earlier, first thing this morning, sorry, and there's somebody that must come in regularly. All the staff knew their name and started helping that person with their shopping. You know, like, and let's look and remind ourselves of the pandemic. How many people helped each other when people stood out and clapped the NHS, when people were rallying round to, you know, get people the donation. And when the world went quieter, because it was like we hadn't got our busier lives and running around, there was even more kindness than I think we could all see. So I see it every day. And I really say to people, look up from your phone, watch your environment around you. Look at, you know, when you're in a restaurant, look at on the bus, look at when you're at work. You will spot daily kindness yourself. And that will remind you that we are in a kind world. And I truly believe that. I just feel like we're presented with quite a lot of negativity.
When I think of kindness, I think of doing or giving a selfless act for someone else. The strangers on today's episode have unexpectedly highlighted to me that sometimes kindness really starts with being kind to yourself. I know that the world we live in can sometimes seem cruel at times. I mean, we've just come out of a global pandemic. We're in a cost of living crisis. There's war in Europe. And let's not beat around the bush. There is just general negativity in the news. However, I genuinely do believe that small acts of kindness really are all around us. You just have to sort of focus on them and start looking out for them. I hope this episode inspires you to be kind to someone else, maybe even a stranger, or just to yourself. It's definitely a good place to start. To see more content and advice from the strangers that I meet along the way, make sure to follow Don't Be a Stranger podcast on Instagram and TikTok, and check out our website, don'tbeastranger.co.uk. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll catch you on next week's episode.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website at im-listening.co.uk.